coming up in this episode. Sir Patrick explains what pulled him back into Star Trek. The mayor of Toronto boldly gets geared up for Halloween. Snoop Dogg's house is a spaceport. All that and more. This is The Topic is Trek, episode 53 for Friday, November 8th, 2019. Pip, pip, hooray! Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
It's been a while since I heard that theme, and it sounds the same as the last time I heard it, actually. It's very strange. I guess that's the way music goes.
Very retro.
Yes, indeed. Like from way back last time we did this. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Clinton, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts, and beaming in to join me from wherever they're beaming in from. First, it's Mr. Craig Stepp.
Beep, bop, boop. Hello.
He's beaming in from some 8-bit environment of some kind. I don't know.
He's totally non-digital tonight.
That's right.
And already beamed in is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
It's like this, Craig. Well, something like
well,
that.
It's wonderful.
It's the suspense, isn't it? When Clinton, when I hear that reverb on the intro where you say, on this show, the topic is trying. I figured this. I picture you growing like 50 feet tall, like
yes,
larger that's than the temple that you normally sit in.
They call me the ultimate Vulcan or the infinite Vulcan. Yes, there we go.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I suggested it.
Who hey, mourns for adenoids?
Oh my goodness, it's just gone. You're already like we're like 2 minutes in and we've gone off the rails already.
Mm-hmm. My job is
rails?
Done.
They're rails.
There are rails, but don't look for them because we're so far into the field now. It's not going to matter. But you know what can get us back on the rails? I think I know somebody that will agree that what we need to do is we need some subspace chatter.
I'll bet Charlie would agree with us again.
You don't know that sure. Subspace chatter?
We can't convince him.
No, jerk. We keep trying jerk. Week after week after week.
I don't think he listens to the show.
Well, he does he just like come in and say that and leave again? That would be very rude.
Well, it is Charlie after all.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose.
He's not known for his manners.
That's true. You would think after all this time, he would have learned. But what we're going to learn is our first story, and Chuck is going to tell us about it.
I do. I have a story about Sir Patrick Stewart on how Logan led him to a Star Trek spinoff. After 7 seasons and 4 feature films, Sir Patrick Stewart was happy staying retired as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, but decided to take a call from CBS All Access about a proposed new series. Wink, wink. Speaking at Destination Star Trek in Birmingham, UK, Stewart said, "I had great respect for the people who are calling me in to see them about reviving Jean-Luc and Star Trek, and I wanted as politely and sensitively as possible to tell them why I was going to turn their offer down. They listened to me talk for 20 minutes or more while I explained to them all the reasons behind my saying no." Stewart then added, "When I had finished, they thanked me and said, 'Well, can we just talk to you a little more about things that interest us?' And they did." Apparently they didn't wait for an answer.
Yeah.
No, how many times do I have to say no? And I said to my agent, "Could you ask them if they could put all of that into writing so I can study their ideas?" A couple of days later, I got a 35-page document of single-spaced writing, and I was fascinated by it. Stewart went on to say that he agreed to return to the role of Picard with some specific terms and conditions. A lot of money, probably.
Yeah, that's one of the conditions.
He cited the film Logan, which he had starred in along with, of course, Hugh Jackman, as an example of how he envisioned the universe how the universe might have changed in the years since we had last seen Jean-Luc Picard. So that was a bit of, hey, it worked once before, so let's try it again.
Indeed, but switch it up, make it different at the same time.
Faster, more intense.
That's right.
That's right.
And I know you've already packed your bags and we made you dig out your passports and go to the United Kingdom for Destination Star Trek. So let's just stay there for the next story from Craig.
Yeah, because that's a long trip. You don't want to just leave as soon as you get there.
That's right.
Yeah. So speaking of the Picard show, the vaudeville, you know, comedy act show, where no, I'm just kidding. The Picard show that's coming up. They're coming out with the hats and the canes. Same, even more Star Trek Next Generation alums are maybe coming aboard Picard. So Patrick Stewart teases Star Trek Picard may be coming back with the rest of the Generation crew, which we kind of speculated on that a little bit ourselves.
And the rest.
Yeah, and the rest. Gilligan and... So, also at Destination Star Trek panel, one fan asked Sir Patrick Stewart if the rest of the Next Gen crew would be making an appearance. He said, I think so. You know, I think he said, I make it so. That's what it was. So, anyway, so we, of course, already know that Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, Brent Spiner will be returning along with Jeri Ryan and Jonathan DeLarco. So, who else would you think is going to be coming? I think Geordi's a shoe-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling...
At least it's a cameo or something, you know, a bit part.
He's on a phone call with Data.
Yeah. I think the one person that would be most surprised to see show up, even though he said, you know, if they asked me, I would do it, is Will.
Oh, no, Will.
Will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he would... do it. And he said why he would do it. He said, because like hanging out with people and everything. Somehow I just feeling like that's not the person they're going to ask. And I don't know if it would be Q. It would be interesting to have Q, because Q adds a different dimension to stuff that's going on. You almost expect him to be responsible for what's happening. And they don't think you want that. There. Yeah.
I think it would be a huge mistake if they didn't ask Will. Based on what we know about Will Wheaton, he had a lot of respect for the actors and did like hanging out with them, learned a lot from them in the TNG days. And as far as I know, he still keeps in touch with at least some of them. So it, mm-hmm. it would stand
with him
reason.
Last year.
Yeah. He spoke fairly highly of everybody in that on the cast. And I don't know. I think it would be... I don't know what the storyline would look like to bring him in or what he's been doing for the last 30 years, but I think it would be a huge mistake if they didn't at least entertain the thought.
Maybe it's the fact that of all the people that are asked about being on Picard, he's the one whose answer seems the most flat. Like, yeah, if they asked me, I would do it. And, want to hang out with this. Well, either a hell yeah or I haven't heard. You know, all the people that are in it are like, well, I don't know, I haven't heard. And meanwhile, they've already signed their contract and they're filming already. So maybe that's the impression I'm getting, because he's like, I would do it, sure. It just seems like, well, that's not what you'd say if you're the surprise guest.
Right.
But maybe he's outthinking me by doing that.
Always.
Maybe they could bring in Miles O'Brien.
Wheaton!
Yeah. Bring in Miles.
Miles has a bit part of just standing in the transporter.
Yeah, that's right.
Waiting for something to happen.
That's right.
Poor Chloe.
All right.
I tell you, I know, I think Geordi's a shoe-in. Will Wheaton, maybe. I'm sorry, I should be referring to the character names. I think Worf is also another high on my list that we will highly likely will see.
No Barkley?
I'd love to see Barkley.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
doing an awkward handshake with, somebody or something.
Oh, no. Mr. Picard, Captain Picard. What do I call you now? I don't know.
Captain Picard.
What is it? Barkley. I don't know. Right. I see Worf and Geordi as high on my list. I don't know about y'all.
Okay. Well, we will know shortly because the series premieres in January, the latter part of January.
As we record this, I'm going to tell you, I got a countdown going on. It's a surprisingly few days left. It is 81 days.
Oh, my. All right. Well, while the countdown goes on, we're going to get more news out of Destination Star Trek. Titan Books has announced the release of 3 new books, including the autobiography of Captain Catherine Janeway. In the so-called autobiography, we get to hear Captain Janeway's side of the story. We get to explore how she brought together Starfleet and the Maquis as part of her crew, forged new alliances with species across the galaxy, and overcame one of Starfleet's greatest threats, the Borg, in their own remote and hostile territory without any coffee. But anyway, right. And we'll
that's,
why also,
she did, that's how she did it. She was so angry. Right.
My coffee maker is broken. And we'll get Janeway's personal take on key characters, such as 7 of 9, her trusted friend Tuvok, new arrivals like Neelix, and her second-in-command, Chakotay.
I think they forgot to mention Tuvix in there.
Yeah, you could get two of those characters in one if you just...
No, they didn't forget, believe me.
Fans nobody will be can able forget to purchase, Tuvix.
Yeah, well, that's true. You'll be able to purchase the autobiography in July of 2020. And the other two books announced included the art books, The Art of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek, The Artistry of Dan Curry.
Who is writing this autobiography?
Well, it's an autobiography.
Catherine Janeway.
No, I can't do that with a fictional character. Who's writing
it?
Maybe it's a fictional book. Maybe you'll spend your money and you won't get anything.
Yeah, called a Kickstarter campaign.
Hey, back in the 80s, I had like the Back to the Future soundtrack on cassette. And on the cassette, I remember the music that they had for Under the Sea Dance. It had it was credited as Marvin Berry. I was like, they actually used the characters' names for the credits of the music on the cassette, which I thought.
I'm sorry. And a cassette is, I'm sorry, I don't really, anyway, let's.
A successor to the, or predecessor to the CD, excuse me.
And a CD is, anyway, let's move along.
It's on this show, predecessor the topic to the MP3. Is cassette.
Yes. Where are we going now, Chuck? In our
we
next
are
story.
Going, well, surprisingly, Star Trek Destination.
Oh,
Destination Star Trek. Thought I'd mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Good work. Fooled everybody.
They should have called it Star Trek Destination Birmingham.
Star Trek Online and Hero Collector announced release of 2 Star Trek Online ship models, which will arrive next year. I'm thinking that's going to be 2020. So, Hero Collection is coming out with some new ships. The models are the Gagarian-class Federation Battlecruiser and the Chimera-class Federation Heavy Destroyer. Star Trek Online players may remember the Chimera-class Federation Heavy Destroyer from Victory is Life, the game's exploration into Deep Space Nine. This massive Federation starship was commanded by none other than Nog, Starfleet's very first Ferengi captain. The ship will be released as a loving tribute to the actor who brought this character to life in the show and within the game, of course, Aaron Eisenberg. The Gagarin-class Federation battlecruiser is another powerful Starfleet vessel that was released by Star Trek Online ship designers last year to celebrate the popular CBS series Star Trek Discovery, of course, named after Yuri Gagarin.
And you know what the name of the Chimera-class Federation heavy destroyer was in Star Trek Online that Captain Nog captained?
Victory's Life.
The Chimera. I mean, they could have just said, but anyway.
Because it was the first in the class.
Yes.
Yes, but okay. I mean, the second time you mention it in, you know, the story, they should have just said the Chimera. It's like every time you're going to say the, you know, Constitution class, cruiser, the Enterprise. I don't know, just weird. But yes, I definitely remember the Chimera from my various incarnations of playing Star Trek Online. And the Chimera actually saved the USS Literally once or twice. So I have fond memories of that.
Why would it need saving, Captain?
I think you've heard the stories. You know why it needed saving.
Captain Ensign recently promoted.
All right, well, Craig, I'm sure you're going to take us to an exotic locale for your next story.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking of this tropical place called Birmingham.
Oh!
Alabama?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. So anyway, still staying with the Birmingham Star Trek destination. I'm sorry, Destination Star Trek. In our last destination story, at least for now, although Michael McCann, there you go, creator of the animated Star Trek show Lower Decks, couldn't make it to the convention, he did a video conference in, and a few new tidbits came up during the Q&A session with the fans. When asked about canon, where Lower Decks is concerned, McCann answered, the short answer is yes. I'd like to know what the whole question was, but okay. So a fan asked if Star Trek alumni were going to appear. Predictably, McCann was careful with his words, saying it certainly sounded possible and adding somewhat cryptically that he is a fan of everyone in the Next Generation, but that you might not get people you'd expect.
Oh, Ensign Gomez.
That's where Barclay's going.
There you go.
Yeah. So McCann.
I just like McMahon. Listening to him stumble over it.
Yeah.
You aren't my friends. Was also able to describe the writing structure of the half-hour show. There will be an A, B, and C plots in the episodes. Will mostly standalone with some arcing elements.
Which I thought was interesting. A half-hour show that's got A, B, and C plots.
Like the Enterprise.
That's a lot of plot going on.
Well, they had what, 17 in an hour of Game of Thrones, so it could work.
17.
But keep in mind, like, they're saying most of these are not overarching themes. These are just, like, plots in the story.
Right.
So they theory, begin and end in the half hour.
Well, when does it come out? I would remind you if I knew, because
we don't know yet. I mean, be happy we know when Picard is going to be on.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think it says sometime in 2020.
They could be very short plots, like, Captain, we're being diverted to a star system. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Plot A, done.
Roll the credits. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I thought the animation, we saw a few, not animation, but we saw a few pictures, the character pictures.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm in. I want to check it out.
And it'll be coming to a CBS All Access near you sometime?
Or Nickelodeon? Right. Was there another one on Nickelodeon?
No, Nickelodeon is the other one that we don't even have a name for that one yet.
Yeah, that one's still...
This will be all
Star Trek Access. Napoleon Dynamite.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah. Can we, like, do Warp 6 or something?
Worst Starship crew ever.
They'll run themselves out after a while, people. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Our next story does not come to us from Destination Star Trek.
Why not?
Finally.
I don't know. The Captain Janeway Bloomington Collective is seeking crowdfunding support in order to create and install a monument to Janeway's image in Bloomington, Indiana.
Why there?
The proposed design, well, because there's a connection there. The proposed design, which has been cleared by CBS, and that's kind of important there, includes a bronze bust of Janeway atop a limestone base in the shape of a Starfleet insignia with stainless steel plating. The monument also includes information about Janeway's character and backstory, including her connection to Bloomington. The proposed monument would be installed on Bloomington's B-Line Trail. The pedestrian asphalt trail runs 3.1 miles through the city of Bloomington. A spokesperson for the effort reported, Captain Janeway constantly demonstrated integrity and humanity in the face of many challenges. She led her crew home without compromising her principles and became a role model to a generation of young women. Captain Janeway deserves to be recognized in Bloomington, the place of her future birth.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Voyager first established Bloomington, itself the hometown of Voyager co-creator and producer Jerry Taylor,
as Janeway's place of birth in the season 7 episode Imperfection, but her ties back to the state of Indiana were first established in season 5's 1159, which looked back at Janeway's ancestors during the construction of the Millennium Gate, the first self-sustaining civic environment built on Earth, well, at least in Star Trek history. The Captain Janeway Bloomington Collective is seeking crowdfunding support of at least $12,500 by December 21st in order to create and install a monument in Janeway's image in Bloomington. If that amount is raised, the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority will donate a matching amount. As of this recording, the campaign has raised nearly $6,600.
Hey, halfway there.
A little halfway there. All righty. And Star Trek Voyager, of course, itself is celebrating its 25th anniversary in January 2020. So good timing on that one.
They should erect a statue of Jerry Taylor since that's Jerry's home.
Yeah, they should. Well, maybe he'll get a little byline in him. Let's kind of sneak a credit for him into the plaque or something like that.
A quote.
A quote.
I wrote this character, Jerry Taylor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, towards, we were speaking a little bit earlier about video games with Star Trek Online, and I think you've got some video game company-related news there, Chuck.
I do indeed. Virtual reality startup Sandbox VR raises another $11 million in celebrity-backed funding round. This is from Daily Star Trek News. The two computer software companies with Star Trek titles have received substantial cash infusions. Location-based virtual reality startup Sandbox VR, makers of the Star Trek Discovery Away Mission VR experience, have just secured an additional $11 million in a new funding round. Funders include, among others, celebrities such as Will Smith, Justin Timberlake, Katy Perry, and Orlando Bloom. The funding comes shortly ahead of a new facility opening in San Francisco, which Variety reports will host the new Star Trek 30-minute experience that Sandbox VR announced back in July. In the experience, a team of up to 6 players will investigate a distress signal from a lost starship, an adventure that takes them, among other places, to an ice moon. No, there are no tauntauns there. The experience features the voice talents of Mary Wiseman as Ensign Sylvia Tilly, as she should be. The experience also uses full-body motion capture and focuses more on collective problem-solving than combat scenarios. Oh, so it's like a escape room for Star Trek.
Or it's like the Borg, because it's a collective. I don't know.
Meanwhile, mobile game publisher Scopely has raised $200 million in a fourth round of funding so it can have a war chest for acquisitions and investments. Scopely's big games include Star Trek Fleet Command, Looney Tunes World of Mayhem, WWE Champions 2019, The Walking Dead Road to Survival, Yahtzee with Buddies, and Wheel of Fortune Free Play. That is a...
And Star Trek Space Jam.
What do all those things have in common?
I was wondering the same thing. That is quite the portfolio. Scopely noted that mobile gaming is now the biggest and fastest growing category in interactive entertainment, generating more than the worldwide box office. Wow, that's a statement. Scopely was funded in 2011 and now has 450 employees in offices in Los Angeles, Barcelona, Dublin, and Tokyo, with an additional 400 people working on Scopely games at external development studios around the world.
Well, it sounds like they'll be around for a bit then. So if you're one of those people that go, well, I don't know if I should play this game, is the company in good shape? It sounds like both of these places are.
So $200 million, they've been around already for 8 years. Not to predict the future, but they'll be around for a while.
Indeed. And speaking of more corporate things, because what would an episode of The Topic is Trek be without something about this subject? Craig is going to tell us about the latest in the merger.
Oh, the merger. Here we go. So the $30 billion, I'm using air quotes, dollar merger of the CBS Corp and Viacom have been approved by their parent company, National Amusements. It sounds like they own a bunch of theme parks. The latest step towards the proposed combination. The companies said that the approval for the all-stock deals satisfies the closing condition to the merger, requiring approval of the majority of the CBS Class A shares and the majority of the Viacom Class A shares. Viacom and CBS now say that pending other customary closing conditions, the merger is expected to be completed by early December. At closing, CBS will be renamed to Viacom CBS, and Les Moonves is rolling in his grave.
I mean, he's still alive, but
he's already rolling.
He got in and just rolled around in it.
Yeah. What about the merger? CBS. And
Viacom CBS. That's going to be hard to say. CBS, I guess it don't matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just going to call it CBS and CBS All Access anyway. So, I mean, I suppose corporately we may refer to it that way, but I don't know. We have to refer to Paramount as well, I'm sure, for the movies and everything. So,
yeah, I'm still curious to see how this is going to shake out when we're talking about the movies and all that, or whatever happens in the near future.
And hopefully we talk about some movies at some point in the future. That would be good, too.
Yeah.
All right. My next story comes to us from Sandusky, Ohio. Cedar Point is auctioning off several pieces of amusement park decor from its museum, including a reproduction of Captain Jean-Luc Picard's Starfleet Command chair.
I want
the yellow white. What's that?
I want it. Let's just put it in the middle of the living room.
Hey, let's go in halfers.
Well, the yellow, white, and silver Star Trek replica comes complete with a Cedar Point Certificate of Authenticity. And for those who were worried, yes, the armrest consoles do light up. Sold by Gray's Auctioneers, a live auction starts up November 18th, but you can bid online right now. And at the time of this recording, the bidding stands at over $400.
I can now, still afford that.
The weird thing here is that I've been to Cedar Point. I've only been to Cedar Point once. I don't recall them having a Star Trek attraction. I went online and I found a site that listed defunct attractions at Cedar Point. Nothing. There was nothing related to Star Trek. Where did this come from?
I was just going to say.
And why was it there?
Actually,
and it says it's made by Cedar Point. There's a thing on the back of the chair that says Cedar Point.
And what good is a certificate of authenticity to say, yeah, this came from Cedar Point? That's like me putting together a certificate of authenticity that says, yep, this laptop was in the binary studio. So what?
Yeah. Actually, this chair, where did this chair exist?
It doesn't say where was it used?
Trying to make a buck.
It looks like a mix between, or it looks like some kind of crazy version of the TNG chair kind of thing.
It doesn't look
It's Captain Picard's chair.
It doesn't look like it's screen authentic.
It said Captain Jean-Luc Picard. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. No, this looks still, like it's velour.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
So if you want to see a picture of this, I haven't mentioned this. If you want to see a picture of this lovely chair that we're describing, then you want to go over to the show notes for episode 53 over at thetopicistrek.com, and you can find a link to this article as well as all the other stories that we've been talking about this evening. And yeah, you can weigh in on what you make of this chair.
That's a hard pass for me, by the way.
I can understand. I completely understand. It's got some nice details on it and it does light up, but nothing anywhere says why this thing exists.
Oh, by the way, Cedar Point, I'm taking a guess here that the reason this exists is Cedar Point owns the theme park, which is right down the road from me, Carowinds.
Yeah.
And previously, Paramount owned it. So Paramount had Star Trek stuff there. As a matter of fact, there was a ride there. It was the Borg ride. Now it's called
been
the
shipped
Nighthawk.
Around. And
but I have a feeling it's left over.
It's a leftover from
the previous owners. I would say
it's a good bet because the plaque on the back actually does say Starfleet Command, and then it's got this weird swirl all over it, which could be the track of a roller coaster shape. And then below it, it doesn't say Cedar Point. It says Cedar Fair.
Yeah,
Entertainment Company.
Yeah, it has their name on it. So I don't know. I was just throwing the guess out there that it was left over from Paramount. Because I know when they sold over, I think that they still had Star Trek their stuff there for a little while as they were converting over. So I don't know. But it'd be weird for them to make a plaque and then stick it on there just for temporary.
What I like is that if you look at a close-up, can't get this to enlarge. I can't get it to enlarge, but
in biggin.
If you look at the consoles that are on the arms, some of the buttons actually say L-Cars Access. Now, you don't have a button on the L-Cars that says L-Cars. It's like having a button on your computer that says computer, you know, the keyboard. You know, it's like, why?
It's got Google Maps, nav. it is supposed to be for the NCC 1701D, huh?
And then there are buttons on there that say instigate and terminate. I'm worried now.
Instigate, we're instigating a riot.
It's not investigate, it's instigate,
right?
He's got it all on here. He's got con, ops, backup. Well, you know,
it's got a little bit of wear and tear on the armrest too.
So yeah. Clearly, it was used for something in whatever. I like your guess that it was from one of the Paramount parks that Cedar Fair took over, but a little context, especially on the auction site, would go a long way. But I guess they felt like, Now, it does say that it says 20th centuries, which means that it's from at best the 90s. So it's been kicking around in the museum for like 20 years. I don't remember a museum at Cedar Point either, so I don't get any of this.
It doesn't scream any historical relevance or significance. Yeah.
No, but what's interesting, if you click on where it says there's a link that says Cedar Point Auction. It takes you on that one listing. It takes you to the auction. There's actually some interesting old stuff. I know it's unrelated to Trek, but there was like some old arcade type machines, and I'm talking like video games. I'm talking like the prediction, you know, the grandmother's prediction machine. You know, like it would spit a card out, like on.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well,
you
can bid on this stuff, Craig, because the auction starts November 18th, but you can bid online right now.
Here's an old Derby arcade machine, you know, where it has the little animals, the horses going down the little track inside the.
Keep a link to that captain's chair auction. I'd be curious to see what the final price actually is.
Indeed. Well, it went up from this article was posted on October 28th. And so we're not, it's gone up an awful lot in that amount of time to $400 from $60. So
bookmark it, Chuck, and put it on your calendar for next week.
Well, it's in the show notes, so we can use that too.
Yeah, we always go back to the show notes.
Yes, we do. We always go back to the show notes. And speaking of the show notes, let's go to the next story in the show notes, like that segue. That's the best segue ever. And Chuck is going to tell us about something unexpected, perhaps.
Well, Snoop Dogg's rebranding to be Snoop Lion did not work so well. He's still listed in this article as Snoop Dogg. During recent appearance on a Netflix hip-hop music competition series Rhythm and Flow, Snoop Dogg, yes, that Snoop Dogg, appeared as a guest judge. During the episode, Snoop takes Cardi B on a tour of his home. Some sharp-eyed viewers noticed that a wall in Snoop's home has some familiar-looking starships on it. The wall was a mural of Starfleet starships in space. Star Trek Online's Twitter account confirmed that the artwork on Snoop Dogg's wall is concept art from the game. Turns out that the mural features more than Star Trek ships alone. In a custom piece created by Gamut Media titled Star Wars versus Star Trek. Oh, that's not a problem. The mural includes ships and actors from the Star Wars universe as well as the Star Trek universe. Snoop Dogg produced and appeared in the Star Trek parody movie Unbelievable.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
four of them, in fact.
Yes.
He teamed with original Star Trek Nichelle Nichols on the project, which assembled more than 40 Star Trek alumni into its cast. Well, that's pretty impressive in and of itself.
Yeah, I think the part I made it from the article was it said, although not all the celebrities were pleased with the final product. So we talked about Unbelievable, and we at one time we had a link to the trailer for it, but I have no idea where that movie appeared.
If
in
ever.
Theaters, in Snoop's house. I mean, I don't know who showed the movie.
$2 bargain bin at Target.
I did see that little clip for it with a, you're talking about the, yeah, with the puppet Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the trailer for it. And I was like, what? And it had every, you know, had several Star Trek celebs in there. And I'm like, what in the world am I watching? Yeah.
So our last story talked about Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm sure Craig's story will be completely different.
Oh, yes. I think I'm going to go the other way with this one.
All right.
So Ewan McGregor, you know where this is going already. Ewan McGregor will return as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the new Star Wars series for Disney+. While on Jimmy Kimmel Live, McGregor reflected back on the big announcement made at the past August, at this past August, D23 Disney convention. He revealed that it was rather overwhelming for him to be the focal point of so many adoring fans. Oh, come on. No, I'm just kidding. In fact, it gave him what he calls a William Shatner moment. Oh, really? Well, do tell. Well, he told Kimmel, I had a William Shatner moment on there. William Shatner wrote a book called Get a Life, where he describes his life was in a difficult place, and he went to his first convention, in his case, a Star Trek convention, and he was overwhelmed by the sense of a love from the people, and it changed his life. He wrote this book about it. So I guess that's what he was feeling about on stage when he was with Kathleen Kennedy.
I watched the clip of him doing that, and you know, Kimmel was having none of it. He was like, "Well, why were you reading a William Shatner book?" You know, he said, "Did you Bill Shatner at the airport when you were there?" And you said, "I think I'll just pick up this book that Bill wrote and look up Bill." I mean, no, and he said, "Well, it's even stranger than that that." He ordered it and was reading it on the set of Star Wars while he was doing Star Wars.
Right.
So, very strange.
Actually, I'm looking forward to the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan series. I think it'll be good.
You'll have to tell me about it because not chilling out for another service at this point. So,
well, hey, by the way, since we're kind of talking about Star Wars, I'm looking forward to The Mandalorian. It comes up on... Disney Plus launches on the 12th. I'm surprised you're not on the Disney bandwagon.
I love the theme parks. You know, lukewarm sometimes about Disney overall. I mean, a lot of stuff they do, I feel like, is getting predatory. And I just, you know, I don't like the way they deal with theaters. I don't like, you know, some of the reach. Sure. So, I run hot and cold. But mostly I'm a fan of the theme parks more than anything.
Well, I'm a fan of the, Marvel, of course, and Star Wars. So I had some money sitting in PayPal I totally forgot about. And it was that time when they had a discount, early discount on it, on Disney Plus for 3 years. I went, I'll pay for it. This is money I didn't even think I had until 10 minutes ago. So I sprung for it because I wanted to check it out. So,
yeah, is anybody going to get Apple? Is it called Apple Plus? Because I figure everything's Plus these days.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus.
Oh, no. Sorry. So,
well, if you buy an Apple device, you get it free for a year.
Oh well, good. I'll spend that several thousand dollars so I can get Apple TV Plus for free for a little while.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's $5 times 12. So what is that?
60.
$60. So can you buy anything? Well, you could buy an Apple TV almost, and it costs you another $40. Was it $100 for an Apple TV?
I don't think so anymore.
I don't know how much they run. Anyway, so.
So hopefully between all of us, in case something related to the topic is Trek, shows up in any of these things. Not very likely, but it could. Hopefully we've got all the bases covered. And it sounds like at least we have the Disney Plus one taken care of.
I don't share my passwords, but I would totally share it with you, Clint, if you need.
Well, I
Why don't you tell us now? Nobody else is listening.
No, it's just if something comes up on the channel, you know, I wouldn't be able to see it. So I want to, you know, can you tell us about what happened? Or that type of thing. All right. Now, that's all the stories that we have for this episode in Subspace Chatter, the segment that Charlie loves so much. But we have 23 additional stories we didn't have time to cover, and you can find all of those stories when you go to the show notes for episode 53 over at thetopicistrek.com.
Now, let's go ahead and read them now.
All right. So first up, we're going to move on to our main mission. We've pressed the buttons, and this time around, we're going to be focused on costuming. So I've gathered up some stories about costumes related to Star Trek, obviously. And we're going to talk about those stories as a general theme about the world of what people wear in Star Trek. First up, I have a story about, oh, look, we've gone back to Destination Star Trek.
Imagine that. There's a lot going on there. I'll tell you.
Yeah, is it still going on right now? Maybe it is. Destination Star Trek also included the first look at Picard's Admiral's uniform, both through the prop and on the cover of IDW Publishing's prequel comic series. The cover image shows Picard in the Admiral's uniform, suggesting that the three-issue prequel will fill in some of the gaps between Star Trek Nemesis and the first episode of Star Trek Picard. The cover was likely based off the actual uniform prop, which was also on display during the convention. The presence of the physical uniform seems to imply that we'll be getting at least a few flashbacks to Picard's time as an admiral. The new Starfleet uniform seems to take some inspiration from other future Star Trek uniforms. While the uniform is unique, it is reminiscent of the 24th century Starfleet uniforms used in Star Trek Online when the game launched. Have you guys had a chance to look at the uniform?
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting, and again, you'll be able to check that out if you go to the show notes for episode 53. It's interesting because some people were saying, well, I don't really like the fact that those, what do I call it? Wedges. I'm sure there's a much more,
down the side.
Yeah. That go down the starting with Next Generation, you would always have that piece of the top section that would go down on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. But in this uniform, it goes down quite a ways. However, I looked back at the dress uniform from the Star Trek movies, from the Next Generation movies, and those go down just as far. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to look odd. I think you're only seeing it in these photos on a mannequin. And I think when you see it in person, it will look a lot better than that. But I think that it's also nicely detailed rather than just being a cut from one color to another color or a single color. This one has at least what appears to me to be a fair amount of detailing to it. You've got, you know, several, you've got gold and you've got the black and you've got the maroon color. And I think it's going to look nice. Now, if we're seeing the Admiral, I'm assuming we're also then going to see standard uniforms.
We did. Actually, we have seen them. Like, they look very TNG-ish. In the trailer, they were he was at the Starfleet Command.
Yeah, but those are, well, yeah, okay, I guess that would be current. I'm trying to figure out how far back is the Admiral's uniform, because, you know, Starfleet seems to want to change the uniform every 3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, if the uniform that he's wearing, I'm sure for this limited run series, whatever they're wearing in Starfleet now will be what they're wearing if they're walking around where Picard is wearing that Admiral's uniform. But you're right. But I just feel like sometimes that's how they delineate time. If it's a flashback, the uniform has to look different somehow.
Yeah.
you know, you have to have, like, when they used the original series Wrath of Khan era outfits in The Next Generation to say, well, time has passed since then, so they don't have one of the elements. You know, it's the exact same uniform, but without one part. Oh, okay, well, sure. I guess time has gone by and they dropped that part. I don't know. So yeah,
it kind of did that with the red flap uniforms in yesterday's Enterprise, where they didn't have the tunic.
Exactly.
Which I thought I could not get past that. I still watch that today, and I still can't get past that. It looks odd when they don't have that little white tunic under it, you know, with the collar. And just like, eh, I'm going to go shirtless under this thing today.
Is matter your dickies stuck in the wash or something? What's going on here?
Yeah. Like the uniform, especially the picture on the front of the comic, him wearing it. I think it looks pretty good. I think it looks good on
This harkens back to a former life I had in my teen years and partly into my 20s, when we used to run a family business scuba diving shop. And every year, the rep would show us the latest wetsuits, and the patterns and the colors would change. When I saw this uniform, I thought, dang, if that doesn't look like a wetsuit. I'm thinking, they're just trying to sell more uniforms now. That's it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think you've got a combination of things going on. One, Star Trek seems to really have this insistence on every series has to have some variant.
Sometimes there's variants in the same series. Discovery. Right.
Yeah.
Well, also Next Generation. We're not going to wear these single piece uniforms anymore. We're just going to randomly switch to, you know, like a top and pants. So I think that you want to say, this is the Star Trek Picard interpretation of what the Starfleet uniform is versus the Next Generation or Deep Space Nine. But it has elements that at least tie it to that lineage, and the comm badge, at least to me on first glance, looks to be the same comm badge as in Next Generation. The matter whether the materials are different or not, but it seems to basically have the same shape. And
the
then
pips are different.
Well, the pips are the same type of pips that are on the dress uniforms that you would see that the admirals were wearing on Deep Space Nine. And I think Janeway had the same pips on her appearance in one of the movies when she was on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to that block of them, like a bar.
A bar with the number of dots rather than the individual dots. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to our next costume-related story.
That would be mine.
That would be you.
So a picture of a European astronaut wearing a Star Trek Voyager uniform while in space is going viral once again following the first all-female spacewalk in history. Astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti, age 42, posted a picture of herself to Twitter in April 2015 while she was aboard the International Space Station. In the photograph, Cristoforetti wore a black and red uniform similar to the one seen in Voyager, which aired from 1995 to 2001, as we all are well aware. At the time, Voyager was the only Star Trek series to feature a female captain, Catherine Janeway, played by Kate Mulgrew. Quote, there's coffee in that nebula, I mean that hashtag dragon, Cristoforetti wrote in her tweet. This was in reference to the SpaceX vehicle nicknamed Dragon, arriving at the space station with a special espresso maker designed for making coffee in space. Because coffee was coming, she had to dress like Janeway. Wink, wink. Cristoforetti's picture went viral at the time, garnering more than 12,000 likes and 8,000 retweets on Twitter. But it has resurfaced online on social media again following her first ever all-female spacewalk, which took place in October outside of the ISS. Very cool. And she looks smart in that uniform, too.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
The article does not include a second picture, but I recall there being a second picture where she's actually appears to be sipping some coffee out of a cup, which I don't know yet. Well, it's like a regular cup. So I think, I don't think that's how it would work on ISS, but I appreciate the look of the imagery. I can't recall at the time whether there was any kind of dust up or not about this. I don't recall when it seems like, why not? But I don't know whether anybody had the tax money for somebody to bring up their Star Trek uniform or something.
I mean, they're people. They got to take a break too, for crying out loud.
Could have been Halloween.
Exactly. the thing I didn't recall from it though was that it was very appropriate because they were delivering this coffee maker.
Should have been Rectigino.
It should have been, but you know, that's getting a little
Rectigino
ahead of ourselves.
Maker, Mr. Rectigino.
That just doesn't roll off the tongue.
It does not.
All right. So now we had an astronaut in a Star Trek uniform. Anybody else want to have a turn wearing a Star Trek uniform? You got any stories about that, Craig?
Well, yes, we do. And here we go. Toronto's mayor, John Tory, wore his support for Star Trek Discovery on his sleeve, literally, this past Halloween. Literally. Should have read it.
You should have read finished it. Reading. Stick to the script, kid.
literally. Tory dressed up as a Starfleet admiral. Tory took to Twitter to say, dressed up as an admiral from Star Trek. A little redundant here. Discovery. Today, to highlight our incredible film sector. A sector that I want to make sure lives long and prospers here in Toronto. He followed the statement with the hashtag made here, seen everywhere, and XOTO. It's X, you know, love Toronto. The tweet attracted the attention of one of Star Trek Discovery's most famous admirals, actor Jane Brooke, who retweeted him saying, a welcome addition to the Admiralty.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
I noted that his uniform fit very well. Like, I don't think this was just like, let's bring something over, you know, to the mayor and that's close enough. It kind of had the fit of somebody who had been tailor fit for the uniform.
Yeah, especially his boot he's got on his leg. He's got like a medical boot.
Yeah.
Or is that a Spock? Or is that, wait a minute, maybe that's Spock's boot so he can hover.
No.
No, I don't. Not I don't the think so. Plane
he should have put two of them on.
Why do I climb a mountain? And
Craig, you're going to have to instruct this guy on his pose, though. He's got his hands on his hips, but it should be pointing off into this strange space of sky.
I know. He should be pointing into the future.
He's gazing up into the future, but he's not pointing
actually,
or reaching.
Is it me, or does he look like an old version of Stamets?
Well, that was my first thought when I saw the little thumbnail when on Twitter going, what's going on here? Why is, you know, it's the mayor. Well, that's interesting.
That's cool though.
Well, Stamets might become mayor someday.
Maybe so, but it will be 930 years in the future. So we'll never know.
Plus whatever that's 930 years into the future's future.
Oh yes. Oh my goodness. Well, we'll have to wait and see then how that all turns out.
Everybody synchronize your watches. We're on a different time zone.
That's going to help a lot, the 1 hour. Meanwhile, in our last story, Michael Kaplan, the costume designer in charge of Star Trek 2009 Reboot, will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at next year's 22nd Annual Costume Designers Guild Awards. The awards will be presented by Kaplan's longtime collaborator, Star Trek director J.J. Abrams. In addition to Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, Kaplan also designed costumes for such notable films as Star Wars, Episodes 7 through 9, see a running theme here this evening, Burlesque, Armageddon, 7, the one that has a 7 in it, you know, who puts a number in the middle of their word, Clue, Flashdance, and the original Blade Runner.
Wow, he goes way back.
Absolutely. And the award ceremony will take place January 28th at the Beverly Hilton. Yeah, I went through the article that we have linked, has images of a bunch of the costumes that he has worked on, and they give the example of one of
I guess you'd call it the dress uniform from Star Trek 2009. It's the two-piece all maroon jacket.
With a cadet. It's the cadet uniform.
Oh, that's right. That's the cadet uniform. That's right. They're wearing it at the trial and so forth, or when Kirk was being booted out or didn't get command of the Enterprise, at least at first.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. 2009.
It was 10 years ago. I'm looking at the calendar like, oh, yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. So I think the spoiler kind of has run out on that one.
Do we have a statute of limitations on this show?
9 years tops. Absolutely. Well, or we do rumors, in which case it hasn't even come out yet. So I don't know. By the way, there's a rumor or two in the stories we didn't cover, and we didn't cover them because more rumors, who knows whether or not they're true, but that is the last of our stories about costumes. However, we're not quite done with costumes yet, because now we head on to our Warp Speed Roundtable. Which sounds exactly like going out on main mission, and I never get around to doing any kind of bumpers that would make those sound different than each other. Okay.
How about that?
There we go. Well, last time around, we asked, what is a quality the Tribbles inherited by getting part of Edward's DNA, which was a scary thing to do. But now I'm going to ask everyone here on the panel, as well as you, the listener, which Star Trek uniform is your favorite? And we're talking about all the iterations of Star Trek, movies, television, if you want to go to the animated series, comics, if you've got something that you could refer to in the comics, that would be something. And I was thinking specifically about Starfleet uniforms, so not alien races. So it's about a Starfleet uniform.
Wow, that's pretty racist of you.
I know. Well, I'm just trying to narrow the field.
It's 2019. Come on.
I know. That's 10 years after 2009. I think we've learned that by
just
now. But
to qualify, Craig, the Beta Z wedding uniform is out.
But that's not really a uniform, is it?
It's more of a suit, like a birthday suit.
Yeah.
It's a wedding suit. I was going to say,
Naked. Naked, baby.
All right. So I am going to start with you, Chuck. What is your favorite? And there are plenty to choose from.
Since you counted out the aliens, that takes out one of my leading favorites of all time is the Borg. I've had a fascination with that, but that's not on the table. It's Starfleet uniforms. I have to go with the jacketed version of TNG. I think it was introduced in Darmok, where Picard... Mm-hmm. actually donned his jacket for the first time and went, that's slick. I like that over the one piece outfit. It was simple. It was sensible. It was layered. So if it got warm, he could take the coat off. And I like that one.
Okay. And what about you, Craig?
I kind of like, the TNG era one. I'm a little torn. I like the TNG uniforms and the DS9 uniforms. They had a little tunic in it. Those are kind of cool. So I'm kind of torn, but I'll probably side with the TNG era ones. Actually, specifically, I did like the ones I just mentioned, yesterday's Enterprise earlier, you know, when they kind of did the flash and then they got the ones that almost looked like the mirror universe versions of, you know, they had a little more of a closed collar and had a belt on them. I thought those were pretty cool also, but I think just the regular TNG, whether it was the black on the shoulders or the color on the shoulders, I liked either one. With collars, I didn't like early...
The first season ones?
Yeah, the first couple seasons. But what was funny is when I specifically watched season 3, and you can see where the main cast had collars. You could still see the non-collars floating around.
Those are the enlisted at the
You get the hand-me-downs.
Well, they did that same sort of thing. You had that ripple effect going through in what was it? First Contact, where the leads, I think it was the leads had new uniforms, or some of them were borrowed from one of the series, and background characters had other uniforms. It's like it was a mixed bag in there as well. mm-hmm. of stuff, you know, because you got a lot of people.
The first contact ones, I'd say were. I also like that gray and black effect. That one attracted.
Yeah, the DS9. That's what I was talking about. The DS9 yeah. version. Yeah.
Well, I'm torn between two, but I made my decision. But I was torn between a costume that I mentioned earlier, which is the white dress uniform in Next Generation.
Ooh, yes.
I really like that one.
I think they wore that in Insurrection as well.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you want to slip in as a waiter, or slip out as a waiter, you can also do that with that kind of uniform.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Just don't drop spaghetti or something on yourself.
That's the worry I have about the white is not good for meals.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but I think I'm going to go with another dress uniform instead of that one. I'm going to go with the classic Trek dress uniform because it seemed to be a nice version of, you know, you're on the front lines and you want to dress up a bit, but it's, you know, it's, keep it low stated. So it was offensive. It was a riff on the standard uniform that they would wear. Mm-hmm. You had it's a different material, but same basic look. It had the gold on it, which is something that's just, you know, was obviously a thing before Star Trek, but that kind of gold accent clearly carries through in lots of dress uniforms that are in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So I like
that something
one.
Different that I hadn't noticed on other dress uniforms is they had the almost like the military decorations on the
yes.
on the left breast, you know, where you've got this award and that medal of honor, and you could see clearly what they were decorated for. So it had more of a military feel for a dress mm-hmm. uniform in that sense, and yeah. I hadn't seen that elsewhere.
Hey, by the way, I noticed none of us picked the Scant.
Well,
no, although I was going to go to the mirror universe from TOS, you know, with the wife beater, no sleeve thing.
Yeah.
Scant. I think Scant is at the bottom of the fashion list.
Yeah.
A uniform that came and went very quickly.
Yeah.
I don't see enough people cosplaying the Scant.
But I have seen some. I have seen some.
What are you talking about? I got pictures of it. I went to the Star Trek photo shoot.
Oh boy.
And I got there was enough people to say, all right, all Scants. And then they were up there. I would say also, I want to add this in there. I think I would add a runner up.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the Kelvin timeline uniforms. I thought they did a good job of kind of making them look a little bit modern for the high def movie, but look retro at the same time. I thought they did a pretty good job with that.
And in the same vein as, I think it was Chuck that said the Picard's away mission jacket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that the one that Kirk is wearing in Star Trek Beyond, that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, almost like a leather jacket type of looking thing.
Yeah.
Really like that as well.
Put that on your Christmas list.
Do the gangster outfits from Piece of the Action count? Cause I really like those suits and hats. I'm a sucker for a good fedora.
You should come up to the Star Trek photo shoot with that next year.
That would, you know, it would be interesting to see who would catch that.
Oh, there would be people to catch that.
Yeah, I think people would get that right away.
Kirk's hat
would be unique enough that it would be hard as heck to find, though. It's hard to find that light, almost off-white fedora. Browns, blacks, grays, easier to find. That white one with the blue band, you're going to have to make that.
Hey, these days it's probably in some auction someplace. You just buy it.
From Cedar Point.
Beside Picard's. Yeah, I was saying it's sitting beside.
Yeah. Yes, it's Cedar Point's recreation of Kirk's hat from the Piece of the Action.
I tell you, it was hard to pick up when you mentioned this. It was hard to pick one because I also like the inner, you know, Anson Mount's, you know, Enterprise uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think it looks also very retro and it looks nice.
I dress up as in a Star Trek Discovery uniform. Those are cool.
The thing I like about the one that's that Anson Mount has is that it's a very plain design in some ways. I mean, you have the angle because it has to match angle with the Discovery uniforms, but it's simple the way you expect a TOS uniform to look. It's just kind of, it's just mm-hmm. there. And the same way, as you said, with the 2009, whereas you contrast that with the Discovery one, which I was trying to rack my brain. Is there a dress version of the Discovery uniform? I mean, how much more accent gold? Could you have on it?
Yeah,
you're
no,
talking
right?
about the blue and gold stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The blue and gold or the silver and gold or the yeah. it's gold, bronze,
it's
silver.
It's pretty dressy already. The one thing I don't care for about the Discovery / TOS uniforms is the collar. How it gets wider on one side, it never looks like it's closed.
Yeah.
I just don't care for asymmetry on the collar.
Oh, you know, it didn't really bother me.
It's driving
me
nuts.
About it. I notice it, but I don't really think about it.
I noticed particularly, I think it was in that Tribbles parody commercial. Dress these kids better, will you?
Hey, this is how we should go to our panel next year. We'll just dress up like the gangster TOS.
We're just going to do a fashion talk.
Yeah. We're here to give you some knowledge. We're going to drop it on you.
Give me that heater. Give me the heater.
Yeah.
I'd advise you to keep talking, Clinton.
Yeah, well, I'm racking my brain trying to think of, because now I'm stuck in this infinite loop of, is there a dress Discovery uniform? we won't see it now, because I'm thinking, well, we saw like that inquiry where, Burnham was convicted of mutiny, and you would assume that the 3-judge panel would be wearing a dress uniform, but they're all in shadows, as I recall. But Burnham would have been as well, but I think she was wearing a regular. I don't know. I'm down a rabbit hole of, is there such thing as a Star Trek Discovery dress? If you guys out there have the answer to that question and can point me someplace and say yes or no, let me know.
Maybe they'll make one.
Maybe they will. Well, I figure at this point it's kind of, why do we need one now? There's like no one else is dressing like us. It's 930 years later.
There's only 3 stars on the map. Starfleet is a remnant of what it used to be.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned about finding Kirk's hat from that gangster episode.
Were you looking?
I looked it up because I was like, I didn't remember it being odd, but it was, yes, of course, it's like a huge fedora shaped hat.
Yeah.
But if you look at it closely, and I never noticed this from watching this on the show, but if you look closely at the still, that thing's fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's like very like wool. Like mm-hmm. fuzzy,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it. You look around the edges of it. He looks like a pimp.
Well, I will certainly have to look in that genre for a
yeah,
hat.
I was going to say, on that note, it's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get out of here and leave Craig behind. But anyway,
you can go to the pimp Goodwill.
So I'm gonna say
the yellow one with the feather or the white one with the blue band.
Oh my. I'm just asking for control, but that was like as soon as we opened the microphone, so never mind. You can find me, Clinton, at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4, on comedyforecast.com. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, MeWe, all sorts of places. Just search for Comedy Forecast and you'll find the show. And who speaks for you this week?
You can find our podcast, Technorama Podcast, over at pimpmyhat.com.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I'm borrowing from Slusher and Michael Butler on that one. But Technorama, it can be found over at chuckchat.com. And just search for Technorama Podcast on your favorite search engine. You will find us wherever you go on whatever favorite media social channel you want to find us at. So thank you, everybody. It has been fun once again.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. But now hit that theme.
Which one? This one?
That one. Yeah.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, wearing a hat, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on that fedora.
Hat.
Yeah, no, I don't want to. No, red hat is a different thing.
The red hat.
No. No, seriously, is there a Discovery uniform? I just don't know.